Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome. This is Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, back on the air at BBS Radio. This week's episode, we'll discuss the new concept for Paranormal Truth and Reality, talk a little bit about our upcoming guests, schedule, and how we're going to operate, and just talk paranormal. So let's get started. Right. Paranormal Truth and Reality's regular lineup will remain exactly the same. We will actually have an outstanding amount of guests that are planning on coming in from Gavin Kelly and his partner, which has a new paranormal show on Amazon, to some more less common people, as well as hopefully certain investigations in Jeffrey Hale. A shout out to Jeffrey. I hope everything is going well. Jeffrey had a loss in his family, so everybody prayed for him, obviously, and we'll kind of, you know, see things as they go. We're also going to be talking a little bit with real life investigators as normal about real occurrences in a conversational matter and get down to the bottom of how people operate here in the paranormal. Speaking of the paranormal, I have been observing a lot of things on RTP and several other groups in the past couple of weeks when it comes to unusual sightings from Mothman all the way over to simpler little things. Very, very interesting situations have occurred. However, if you do your research a lot of times so that everybody understands, most of these sightings may very well not be exactly what they appear to be. So be very careful when you're researching your Facebook information and so forth. Take a lot of time to go to the websites and don't be afraid to ask the professionals that are out there, because most of the time these things end up being, well, not exactly what you think. How are we going to operate Paranormal Truth and Reality in the next 6 months to a year? Well, we discussed a little bit of the guests, and I'm going to get into some detail here at the end about the guests, but we're going to actually build the concept of Paranormal Truth and Reality the way it was originally designed. The station is actually going to spend about once every 3 weeks or so doing a live call-in session. We do have a number available through BBS where you can feel free to call in and discuss your events, discuss your situations, and your experiences. It's going to be a very interesting thing for all of you people that are out there listening, because now you have a chance to actually spend some time on a digital broadcast talking about things, even if you're a normal person. The only thing that we ask here at Paranormal Truth and Reality is, obviously, keep all the rizzamaroo out. I understand that there are arguments all the time between particular groups of people on Facebook and over the internet, on Twitter and so forth, and that's not what the paranormal should be about. The thing is, here in the paranormal, we're here to learn, we're here to share our experiences, and we're here to work very, very hard at those experiences. Paranormal Truth and Reality is also going to branch off a little bit. Amongst our guests and our openings, we're actually going to have, during that one talk show area, a discussion on books and relations that we have actually read from time to time, and kind of lead people to what they should do in order to educate a little bit, with going through some of the websites from universities all the way down to some basic everyday knowledge and understanding. We might talk about a little bit of the simple science and news that most people haven't had a chance to take a look at some major websites. And we're going to discuss a lot of similar situations that come about every single day, from social media all the way down to, hey, I saw some weird lights yesterday. Which brings me to a couple of things, actually. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cough today, guys. I apologize for coughing on you. You know how allergies are, especially in Ohio. They can get a little rough and make you cough from time to time. Anyway, in the local news here in Columbus, Ohio, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we're actually right outside of Columbus, Ohio, there were some unusual sightings of lights out in the areas. What most people didn't know, and so that you're aware if you were a part of viewing those lights or seeing the few announcements that they had on them, is there was actually some testing with a few unique people that were putting some balloons out there to work on the balloon show that they have later on this year that had some lights on the bottom of them and got totally confused as UFOs. So make sure that, you know, if you read the stories and so forth, you understand the reality that, hey, look, you know, this particular incident wasn't a UFO, wasn't anything particular to worry about. Mercy. I apologize, everybody. So what else are we going to do here on Paranormal Truth and Reality? Let's take a step back a little bit and let's talk about our new radio station. We joined BBS Digital Broadcasting, which I thank and appreciate everybody on here because they worked very, very hard. They did great on my promotions. They did excellent on setting up and helping me do this. We joined here because the digital broadcast signal is stronger. You have less cutouts and echoes, as you're noticing currently. And, of course, a change in environment every now and then doesn't hurt. My deepest respect to the radio station that we did leave from. They're a great bunch of people. They're excellent at what they do. In fact, the hosts are very, very well-versed. If you ever had a chance to listen to Kat, Brian, or even Colin, which is the youngest one of the bunch, by all means do that. They are great at what they do. Brian is very excellent at educating every week. Kat has some wonderful, wonderful hosts. It just simply wasn't a fit for Paranormal Truth and Reality. So that everybody knows, so that we get that out there, there's no drama, there's no anything. It just simply wasn't a fit for our particular concept. Here at Paranormal Truth and Reality, one of the things we want to do is discuss the reality of the paranormal. Now, here's the deal with the reality of the paranormal, everybody. There's no fluff. There's no nonsense. We don't go picking names. We don't go picking fights. We talk about exactly what you run into, the reality of what you see out there, the truth and how hard these people work at it, the truth and how the TV and media works, and how this can coincide with the real people in America and the real investigators to get the real word out. Paranormal Truth and Reality was founded with one particular concept, and I actually founded a group with a partner who has left due to some social media issues very, very quickly, but is still investigating across the state of Ohio. His name was Matt. With the concept that everybody here in the paranormal community can share, work together, and pursue in one particular goal, and that is to discuss everything that works within the paranormal. Now, what does that mean? Cryptozoology, UFOs, geology, ghosts, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, you name it, it's probably already there. Science fiction, fiction, urban myth, legend, history, mythology. All of these things somewhere along the line touch into the paranormal. But not just that. Culture, religion, belief systems, social media, radio, television, even morals, all are a part of the paranormal. Now, why do I say all of this? Here's the reality of what you're looking at within the paranormal community. You have a lot of wonderful people, a lot of great people. You have the people that are trying to start their own television shows. You have the people behind the scenes that are doing the audio on those television shows. You have people that have left and done other jobs because of the stress of the paranormal. You have average individuals that are out there every day that speak about the paranormal, that speak about their experiences. You have the scared people. They don't want to talk about their experiences because they're afraid they're going to be judged. You have the misconceptions. What are misconceptions? You ever went to a website, taken a good look at everything, simply discussed things from time to time that you saw on a website or area, and then found out, it's not exactly 100% accurate? The answer is yes. We've all done that. We've all sat there and realized that it may not be exactly as much as we need. Or exactly accurate. Let's use some examples on accuracy, by the way. Cryptozoology is an incredible thing when you're talking about inaccuracies when you first see things on the website. Whether it be as simple as several other people have mentioned from time to time on the Tasmanian tiger and the inaccuracies that you saw that got pulled off of the website, to Bigfoot sightings or a half a dozen other things, Mothman being one of the key things that's going around the circulation within the past 2 to 3 weeks. It's very, very important when you're reading these things to understand that most of the time that is not the whole truth. But it doesn't end there. Social media. Let's discuss this in just a little bit of detail, and then we're going to go back into some paranormal things because I think it's very interesting. I'm actually going to spend some time introducing myself and why I got into the paranormal, a little bit about my story tonight because I know a lot of people have asked about it, and I think it's very important with the reintroduction of paranormal truth and reality that everybody understand I am just like you. Within the social media networks, we have a lot of different things going on. We have people wanting to teach, wanting to train, wanting to learn. We have the average individual that just wants to read a story. We have a lot of regular people every single day that go on there out of a passion for the paranormal. And we have a handful of doctors and physicists and well-educated people that spend time on there as well. A good percentage of what you run into, to be upfront with you, a lot of times there's television personalities and then those people wanting to be television personalities. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You have a lot of people that run businesses in the paranormal. Let's talk about that word. Let's talk about business. As a lot of you may or may not know, I spent the last 23 years of my life mostly in marketing and business outside of my passion for the paranormal and listening to people like John Griffiths, Justin, Joe Vitale, watching some of the conversations between Gavin and Joe, a half a dozen people that are on Facebook, and a half a dozen people that I tagged along with, as well as doing some audio from some very professional people. In the business world, excuse me, it is not uncommon to both be a personality, help, and of course, charge. Now, what do I mean by charge? A lot of people are giving an assumption that it's not okay to charge in any way, shape, or form for anything within the paranormal community. Well, I'm going to tell you the reality here, guys. It just doesn't work that way. Everybody's got to make a living, and you're going to run into somebody that charges. Now, I do understand, and I do agree, there are certain services that should be free. What do I mean by this? Well, you're going to have a lot of individuals that might have some serious things going on. And if those individuals can't afford to pay for something and need help like anything else, you should provide that. It's called human nature and compassion. But business is business, and you are still going to have people that want to run television shows. They want to get sponsors. They want to do events. They want to charge for those events. You're going to have people that charge for particular services individually and not individually. And I'm going to tell you, that's the world. You can't go down the road to get a haircut. You're probably going to be charged every now and then or have to look for funds to be a paranormal investigator. That doesn't mean you have to charge every individual person for investigation. But those are the realities and truth, and the sooner people start understanding that, the easier we can get along. What other things are very interesting to talk about? Well, I'm going to be very, very upfront with something that a lot of people don't want to like to talk about here on radio or any other situation. Social media can be a very dangerous thing. We all know what we've heard and seen, and we all avoid it. But the reality is, we also all have to work together. Now, I know from time to time we all don't think about it, and from time to time we may say or do something over the internet we didn't mean. I read a book a little while back, and if you ever have a chance to read his books, he has some wonderful suggestions. The gentleman's name is Peter Sacco. Peter, if you're listening, I very, very appreciate reading your stuff. And everybody, even if he's not listening, look up petersacco.com. Peter Sacco is a host for a paranormal investigation area. He does have a YouTube site. He's met some very famous people. But let's get back into his book. His book talks about social media. And one of the chapters, he talks very specifically about something that is 100% true. Before you comment, before you think, before you do, take a step back. Walk away. Turn off the computer. And don't comment. Now, why does he say that? It is a common instinct for all of us to get upset. It's a common instinct for all of us to fire back. But we are human beings. So if we think it through, odds are we understand both sides of a situation. Never jump to a gun right off the bat. And understand that everybody that you talk to, whether it be on Facebook, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be through email, whatever social media source you use, these people are human beings. And in the paranormal, they may have a lot of other things going on as human beings because it's a scary world. Now, a little bit further into things, I know I got a little bit off base there. We were talking about some of the things that touch base in the paranormal. Excuse me, I have a terrible cold today, so I apologize if I cough on you guys from time to time. One of the other things that I want to discuss in a little bit more detail, and I'm going to have a wondrous gentleman on. I know I mentioned it earlier, and I'll mention it again. His name is Gavin Kelly. He has a partner. Her name is Paula, and they will be – I do believe it's Paula, and I apologize if I got that wrong because it has been a long day. I've been working in a lot of different areas. They work very, very hard at getting their sponsors. Again, a part of business. They're working on a show on Amazon, and we'll discuss that show in a little bit more detail. It is on my website, www.paranormaltruthandreality. You will paranormaltruthandreality.com. You will actually see some clips from his show. It is an Amazon original. I do encourage you to see their show. But anyway, long story short, Gavin and his crew – Gavin, his co-host Paula, his crew, they work very, very hard at getting sponsors. They were working all week this week and last week doing so, and I think that's awesome. I want to tell them congratulations on that. I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about the reality of working very, very hard on that throughout Paranormal Truth and Reality. Television is not an easy place, guys. I have known a lot of motivational speakers. I have seen a lot of people try it. I've watched a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff working in marketing. And you know what? It's not easy. And I don't even know a quarter of it. There are people that know a whole lot more than me. Finding your sponsors, getting people to back you, being able to generate that money, getting your episodes together, being able to pitch those episodes, that alone is a whole aspect of the paranormal community. Absolutely nobody understands or knows about. And that's something we should discuss. I also want to get back into equipment a little bit. Now, we spoke about equipment on Paranormal Truth and Reality in our first 10 shows. By the way, they will be reprinted and available here within the next 3 or 4 weeks on my website, www.paranormaltruthandreality, and Mixcloud. I have to, out of respect for our last station, remove some of the intros and so forth. Legality issues. We don't want to cause any issues. Again, it's a very beautiful station. I won't mention it here, but they have some wonderful hosts. Most of you that have listened to me in the past know where it was from. By all means, please continue to listen to them. Kat is a wonderful lady. I love her shows. Brian's very educated. Again, I can't talk enough about him. But we'll have those shows on in a little bit more detail. I want to get into some of the more unique equipment. There's a lot of different things from different variables on ghost boxes. There are new EVP recorders that are out there. There's cross-referencing recorders. There's temperature recorders. There's all kinds of different things that we can get into detail about the equipment itself so that people understand it. I know you get the basics. Watch any television show and you're going to get that, right? But do you know what they're actually used for? Do you get and understand that sometimes a thermometer on a camera, an infrared camera or so forth, is designed for a little bit more detail than what you thought it was? Do you get that we can look and register many, many different frequencies on some of these meters? Do you understand some of these meters were designed not only to work on audio, but to repair electronics? Of course you don't, because the average person doesn't quite know exactly what that equipment does. And that is what we need to get out there. Here's the other thing. The reason we call it Paranormal Truth and Reality is because we want to talk about the truth. Now, I've avoided that in my first 8 or 9 shows because sometimes the truth tends to upset a lot of people. And I'm sorry if it does. But it still needs to happen. I know some of you are probably going to be a little bit questionable on what I just said. Some of you are probably going to be, oh, here we go. We got another this or another that. That's not the case. There is a way to express the truth without causing all the issues. Again, those are all problems from people on social media that do this and do that. That's not what we're based off of. That's not what we do. In order to come down to the truth in the paranormal, the real study, talk about the real universities, talk about the real science, and take pride in it, whether you publish a book, whether you don't publish a book, which, by the way, some of us have, some of us haven't, and that's okay. Whether you publish a paper, whether you don't publish a paper, whatever you do, shoot, whether you've only been in it for 6 months, whether you've been in it for 60 years, none of that matters unless everybody works together. Absolutely none of it. The only way you're going to find if something is right is to get everybody to work together. How do you think the science community does it? Yes, they argue. Yes, they debate. But the data collected in general comes together to be looked at for proof or not, for collection or not, for discussion or not. How do you think the medical community makes the advancements that they do? Oh, now I know what you're saying. Here we go. Here we go. Now we've got somebody talking about medical proof, and he doesn't even have a doctorate. He's not a doctor. You're right, I'm not. Just so everybody knows, I'm an average individual. I worked with a marketing degree. I'm a writer, and I got a journalist degree. But I do know one thing. I've spent a lot of time with doctors, and I've spent a lot of time with surgeons, and I've spent a lot of time with scientists throughout the years asking them all questions. And the one thing I get is the reason they all work together is so that they can collect that data, that information, write those journals, and work together to come up with the new medication, the new therapy, the new tool, the new operation. Think about that a little bit. I want everybody listening tonight to take a breath. I want everybody listening tonight to step back. And I want you to think. Within the past 2 years, within the past 3 years, shoot, let's say 5, how many times have you not listened? How many times have you prejudged, whether it be on Facebook, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be on social media at all, whether it be in person, whether it be at the conventions? How many times have you prejudged? Now, I can answer the question. I've done it myself. In sales and marketing, you learn to be a very abrupt and bold person. You can't get anywhere unless you're the best. You can't learn unless you're the best. You always have to be on your game. Rule number one, when I first got into marketing and I got taught from some very unique people, was never step off your game. Now, I did that for a number of years, being trained through some telemarketing firms, taking some very serious seminars from Zig Ziglar and multiple different people, which any marketing individual salesperson somewhere along the line can do. Then when I was an early teenager, and I won't get much into me, but when I was an early teenager, I had the chance to team up with John Mendoza, very wonderful man. Can't talk enough about him. If you ever get a chance to look him up, look up speedselling.com. John Paul Mendoza is a wonderful individual. I got a chance to work with David LeGrand. David's a wonderful lawyer. Only talked to him a couple of times. Great guy, very smart in business. And I got a chance to learn that you not only always have to be on your game, but you have to grow. You have to listen. You have to work hard. And you have to be proud of what you do. Throughout that, I developed a very wonderful marketing career. And I decided to venture into the paranormal. Now, what got me into the paranormal? I know everybody has discussed this. Everybody's asked it. I have 4,000 or 5,000 people on a Facebook group, RTP, by the way. You can feel free to look that up anytime, real-time paranormal. Here's the deal. I moved into a home when I was 6 years old. Our first 2 or 3 weeks, our first night actually, Mom washed all the dishes in her new sink, put them all up. We went to sleep. We all had our own individual rooms. We heard this loud cub bang. We went downstairs. All the cabinets were open. The dishes were stacked on a table. That scared the crap out of everybody, except for my dad, who laughed it off and said, "Well, honey, you must not have put the dishes up." Throughout the next 6 to 8 weeks, my sister moved from one room to another, stating from time to time as she woke up that there was somebody in her closet. She was very scared, by the way. Talked about a shadow figure that was coming out of the closet from time to time. That's a funny word, isn't it? Coming out of the closet. But anyway, when you're looking at that, later on in life, it advanced to my mother saying that she heard things in the attic, heard voices, saw things outside the window in the cornfield. I myself experienced several things to start off with. The first thing was a lot of unusual whispers here and there, lights turning off on their own, windows opening and closing. This is just when I was about 6 to 12 years old. At about 12 to 13 years old, every now and then, I would see on the edge of the cornfield, on both sides of the house, this little boy in a red parka. No joke, red parka all the way around the face, just kind of standing there staring. Well, that little boy followed me all the way up until about 18 or 19 years old, consistently getting closer to the house, consistently looking at things and so forth, until the day that I ran into him in my front lawn. Now, he stayed at my front lawn for a little while, but at this point, he started giggling. Let's flash forward to about 19, I do believe, give or take. And everybody, just so that you're aware, when I'm writing a book on this, so you're welcome to read it. It'll be called My Truth About the Paranormal. But anyway, I didn't live the best life. I wasn't a good kid. I wasn't a bad kid. Got into a lot of trouble. Did a lot of things I shouldn't. So let's skip forward to about 18 or 19 years old to the true, real paranormal experience in the house. Before this, we had a lot of creaking, a lot of strange things in electronics, TVs turning on and off, dishes rattling around and moving. The garage would open up on its own and close, and we didn't have an automatic garage door opener, just so that you're aware. And it was locked a lot of the time, so somebody would have had to have opened it up from the inside and pulled it up. Windows opening and closing, lights and so forth. To me wondering a little bit more about this boy. So when it was going on, I spoke to my best friend, one of my best friends, Julie. We went and looked it up a little bit, tried to find if we could find something. We didn't find much, but I found a newspaper clippet. Talked about right around the mid-1900s, a little boy passing or dying on that road when it was still gravel and there was only one house. Now, he froze to death because he got lost. So I assume that's what the case. Okay, well, it's a little boy. Totally harmless. No big deal. We'll just let him sit out there. Well, the boy got a little closer after that, a little closer after that, a little closer after that. I had a very famous psychic, which, by the way, a lot of people say has been proven wrong now. She's got a lot of bad press. I will not mention her name because I did not ask to, and I don't want to bring up anything that could cause other issues somewhere along the line. But she wrote me a letter after she heard a little bit about my story, And she said she had some very deep feelings that there was something not so good in the house and that I should watch out a little bit because this thing is going to get a little bit more violent. I ignored that. And one evening I got curious because now the boy traveled from the outside to my house. I saw him on the stairs when I was taking a bath. A shower, came out, went to my room, bam, little boy on the steps. And saw him standing in my room and heard him giggling. I thought, oh, it's pretty late at night. I'm not the best guy, right? So maybe something's going on there that substances probably caused, though I wasn't on any that night. I ran into, I ran into rolling over for a moment. I heard the laugh get closer. I turned around. I looked. The laugh had turned into this ominous dark cloud. No joke. Not a shadow itself. Not a shadow. Hard to explain. I decided I was going to reach out and touch it when it got close enough for me to do so. It grabbed my hand, bruised my arm, by the way. I had bruises all the way around it as if somebody grasped it and held on to it, pulled me from the couch, threw me on the ground. I panicked, of course, at that point. I wasn't held down like you hear a lot of sleep paralysis and so forth. I could move. One side of my arm was pulled down to the ground, but I was able to move my right leg, my right arm. I was able to fight this thing back. It grabbed me and threw me against the wall, picking me up off the ground and put me back down. I remember at that point screaming for help. Nobody heard me. And there were three people downstairs in the basement, by the way. You would think they would hear the scream, but they did not. Yes. At that point, when you say that, it could have been a dream or paralysis. But here's where it gets weird. Wasn't for my dog, who not only during this process ran out of the room with her tail between her legs, but was cowered in a corner after the incident was over. And I went down to finally tell somebody what was going on. Now, in my sister's defense at the time, she was with my father. They didn't hear anything until the loud thump. The very end of this, I had a very loud thump because I was thrown to the ground. The only thing that saved me was remembering what a very good friend of mine, Mark, told me once, and his mother, Sandy. God bless you, Sandy. I know you're going through a lot right now, but I will never talk down about you at all. You were a wonderful person in my life. Anyway, Mark and Sandy's mother told me, if you ever have any problem that scares you bad, pray to God. Now, I'm not going to get into a religious thing here. I know some people believe in God. Some people don't believe in God. We can talk about that here in a little while. I kept praying, I am God's child. You cannot hurt me. I am God's child. You cannot hurt me. I slowly pulled myself up off the ground. I felt it getting weaker. I heard a scream like nothing I have ever heard of before. And it left me alone. It did not leave the house. It left me alone. As a lot of my friends and associates would tell you, because it left me alone did not mean it would not pester other people. My dad got deathly ill. My mom got mentally challenged. She still has a few issues, but leaving the home helped her. I don't think my illness was my illness particularly was from it, but I ended up with cancer, fought it. But anyway, long story short, most of the family members that you will see or that you will talk to, as well as the friends, will say they had experiences in my home in one way, shape, or another. Some had eerie feelings. Some heard the whispers. Some got the crap scared out of them. And I could give you a dozen different stories there to keep the hour going, but we'll get into those in more detail. A lot of issues. Now, throughout the next few years, from 19 to roughly about 27, I learned to deal with these issues before leaving the home. My father had passed away. In fact, he remained in the house for a short period of time as I got a roommate. Kind of a funny story there. His first 2 weeks down in the same area that my dad passed away in, he smelled cigarette smoke. He heard a cough and he heard the toilet flush. Well, my dad would wake up at 5 a.m. every morning. He would go to this little bathroom while he was smoking a cigarette. He'd cough three times because he smoked for so long, and he'd flush the toilet after using the restroom. My dad also loved his beer, and he always wanted somebody else to have one. My roommate moved from the downstairs to the upstairs because that freaked him out. Bought a six-pack, put it in the refrigerator. We were going to leave because we had other things to do once he got there. And he got a ghost look on his face because before he took a shower, he said, "I should have drank one of those." Now, I went outside. I was tending to a garden. He comes outside the door and says, "Chris, did you put a beer on my bed?" I said, "No." Well, my dad put the beer on his bed. Somebody did. Can't tell you it was my dad, but long story short, somebody did. These are the little things people don't tell you about in the paranormal world. From time to time, it would irritate people. From time to time, this thing would follow people. Love to keep me up in the middle of the night. It would knock on doors, knock on walls, open and slam windows. You'd hear it screaming sometimes or growling in the middle of the night. It would make my dog scared. It was just a very, very unique experience. Now, since I learned to deal with it, I pretty much just laugh it off from time to time and say, "Is that all you got?" In the end, I decided to do something about it. I invited some paranormal investigators. Well, the first thing I did was I thought I was nuts, to be frankly honest with you. So I went to see a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist said, "You know, people see things, so you went through a lot of things. Good possibility you are nuts here." And he wanted to prove it to me, so he went to the home. Funny thing, I left and went upstairs to the bathroom because the downstairs wasn't working for about 15 or 20 minutes. Heard a loud collision. The psychiatrist meets me on the steps and says, you don't need me, you need a priest. Never saw him again. Don't know what happened, but scared the piss out of him. Excuse the terminology when I say that, everybody. So I went to a priest. Priest came to the home. Priest blessed the home. Didn't change anything. Priest brought another priest. Same thing, just so everybody's aware. Eventually they said, "Well, you should leave." Got referred to a very famous lady. She was quite old at this point in time. But her and her husband, before his death, actually came out to the home during that period in time. They never entered the home. She came out. She got out of her car. She walked up to the home. She walked back to the car. And then I met her at a church. And she said, "You have a very nasty thing in that home. The only way that you can win, Chris, is to do it yourself. I would recommend leaving." I did eventually leave the home. Worked out a deal with my sister after my father died. Sold it for a very cheap price because of the cancer I was dealing with at the time and the fact that I didn't want to deal with the home anymore. It got sold to a couple with a family and has since been sold two more times, or actually exchanged through their family because certain people won't stay in the home. So that's the long story short about what happened to me. I went on a campaign for the truth after that. I started off by taking stories from everybody. I realized that every single person I came in touch with had some sort of paranormal story, whether it be UFOs, whether it be cryptozoology or the unusual monsters out there, whether it be ghosts, whether it be demons, whether it be angels, whether it be what some people call spirit guides, whether it be a psychic medium, whatever it is. These people were telling me these stories. I was accumulating them and so forth. Much like actually what a lot of investigators did early on, to my understanding. I just spoke to a gentleman, John Griffiths, on my last show. He similarly started off with that. Very excellent man, by the way, Fourth Element Paranormal. If you ever have a chance to look him up, you can look him up on ParanormalTruthAndReality.com. You can also look him up on many, many other sources. Most people start, in the early days actually working that way. Then I started asking questions. Of course, my first questions, we didn't have the internet accessible because I was still learning how to make money, to be frankly honest with you, back then. So I had a lot of poor spurts. You were either on the internet or off the internet. To be frankly honest, most cell phones didn't carry internet at that period in time. So you'd ask churches. You'd ask the oddball sources, I guess you could say. Or you'd go to the communities that believed in this stuff. You'd ask a gypsy source if you had it around, which were very hush-mouthed, but some of them were still very open about a few things. Native America. You could ask some American Indians. Some of them, again, very hush-mouthed, but they are very open about their beliefs and some of the paranormal things in their culture. You watch the occasional television show on UFOs. We all grew up with them. And then in the early 80s, a wonderful show that I got to meet a few people on, Ghost Hunters, came out, made it a whole other story, worked very good with the paranormal, also kind of candid in a few areas, came out and discussed a lot of individual things that are very interesting, but also very, very... nonchalantly, not exactly all right. And that was showing the paranormal investigator. Hey, look, we can go out here with a video camera. We can go out here with an audio recorder. We can go out here with a psychic medium. We can come up with answers. So I started to tag along with investigators. I introduced myself in the mid-90s, I think it was, 1998, 1999, to Facebook. And I said, hey, guys, I'm doing a little bit of journalistic background on the paranormal. I want to write and talk about this, and I want to find out what's real and what's not real. I want to spend time discussing this, and I have absolutely no experience outside of research. Now, at that point, I had done some research. I had the privilege of meeting some teams that worked with Catholic churches. They had me doing several interviews. And let me be very clear with that. What is an interview process? I did not go to any exorcisms. I was present for one. I walked in the room for one time because I did these interviews. I said never again, walked away. That was the end of that. But I did work with some people that were licensed in the Catholic churches and the Roman churches. They said that they did exorcisms. I did go to interviews. What is an interview? Well, for a little while, I worked with not only the Catholic Church, but several other paranormal investigators doing a basic interview process, which consisted of asking questions while you were videotaping the individuals in the home, saying, what is your experience? What is your background? A part of this was keying in specific individual things to see if there could be other things going on, partially psychological. Which other people would determine by reading the videotapes, not me. I would give my evaluation at the end, but then you hand these tapes over, you hand your evaluation over, you hand the answers over, let the professionals learn the rest of it. My job is to interview. I have a terrible cough here, so I'm muting every now and then, and I apologize for that. But anyway, when you're doing this interview process, it's to find out if there could be any psychological and mental conditions that you need to refer to medical records and so forth. Long story short, I started there. I went to Facebook to learn a little bit more. I was very upfront, as most of these people will tell you, though some of them have forgotten. This is what I do. And this is where I came from. I'm no famous individual. I worked in audio engineering, so during that period in time, I had the chance to work with some fairly famous people doing some audio clips as a subcontractor for television shows, for some media that was on the audio on YouTube, and more. Excuse me. and kind of worked it from there. Now, what did I learn? I learned a lot. People like Ron Cross, some of the more aggressive individuals, and then some of the more questionable individuals because they came to the UK and so forth, that who are these people? Are they really real? Blah, 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 blah. But a lot of wonderful people, Ron Cross, Cindy Moons, Kelly Berg, Terry Rowe, John Griffiths, Rob Price, Joe Vitale, just a wonderful community that was more than willing to share if you were willing to listen. Now, here's the flip side of this, guys. And I know a lot of you already know this, but I'm going to say it. And it's not to offend anybody, but it's so that we all understand. That experience comes with a situation where everybody wants to get mad because you start talking on the other end from your experience. And I learned a lot from everybody. I humble myself in their existence all the time. You guys are wonderful people. You really are. But fact of the matter is, we all need to learn to get along. I understand that most of you have been doing this 15, 20, and 30 years, and that's true. And a lot of you know that I pat you on the back 100% of the time. 100% of the time. But there's a lot of simple little arguments that can be avoided just out of sheer misunderstanding. And that's what happens with social media, everybody. Misunderstandings. You go looking in the wrong areas, you determine that the truth is this. You go thinking about the wrong areas, you determine the truth is this. There's a lot of different truths out there. Doesn't matter. We're all good people. Doesn't matter. We all work hard at it. And I will never talk down about any investigator I've ever worked with or asked questions from. You're all beautiful people. And thank you very much for teaching me, by the way, and continuing to teach me every day. Lost my train of thought there. I apologize. But the reality is there's a lot to learn in the paranormal and a lot of things out there to work with. So let's kind of move on a little bit from that. We talked about my story a little bit. We talked about what to do, what not to do, where to go, and so forth. Here's one of the other things that I want everybody to understand. In the next dozen, half a dozen episodes and so forth, Paranormal Truth and Reality is not going to cut any punches when it comes to the reality of my guests. They're very professional people. They're going to have opinions on things, and that is okay. We all have different opinions. We all have to get along. We all have to learn. We all have to experience things. We all have to talk in the individual way to promote ourselves and to promote our businesses. We have to promote our television series that are coming up. This is all a part of the paranormal, as I had mentioned before. If you don't think it is, get over yourself. That's the bottom line, because it is. Now, I'm not griping, and I will never gripe about that. On the flip side, we're going to have some people that have experiences, and they're going to talk about those experiences. I'm going to have a wonderful gentleman on. His name is Keith Linder. He had an experience called the Demon House. Just so everybody knows a little bit about the Demon House, it was claimed to have a lot of demons in it, burnt some Bibles with nobody there, writing on the side of walls, a lot of crazy things. So it's going to be an incredible ride when we get Keith on to talk about his true story. Keith Linder has been questioned several times by individuals because some people doubt him and so forth. And that is not uncommon in the paranormal. We all get questioned. We all wonder about things. There's a lot of different opinions. That's what makes the beauty of it. Gavin Kelly and Paula from Paranormal Journey is going to talk about their show. They're going to spend a little bit of time discussing their show, discussing how they get it together, the dates that it's going to be on, some of the things they've already done, some of the things they're going to continue to do. That's going to be great. I'm very excited to hopefully continue with Jeffrey Hale and his associate with CERT Investigations. CERT Investigations is a wonderful, wonderful thing, guys. If you ever have a chance to look at their site, look them up. Look them up on Facebook. You can type in SERT. It'll go straight to them. Great crew. I have a wonderful author, Tammy Whalen Buckler. Now, Tammy is actually a psychic medium, and she's also a lot of other things. She has some very, very unique opinions. So in Tammy's book, it discusses those things from an aspect that's very delightful, actually. I mean, she looks at it from a down-to-earth point of view. Hey, look, it could be this. And she's right, it could be. I have Jason Love that's going to be on with me in August. Jason Love is actually a very renowned demonologist in the UK, believe it or not. He's going to discuss with us the difference between what demonology really is and what it is not. So keep in mind that very, very interesting situation. We're also going to have upcoming guests, hopefully from several other television shows that we've been working on very, very closely. A quick apology to Peter James Haviland. I can't pronounce your name right, Peter. You're going to have to let me know that when I bring you on. He was supposed to be on tonight, but I wanted to do a reintroduction so everybody got a feel for the show, got a feel for the truth of things, got a feel for the way we're going to pursue from this point in a professional mannerism and so forth. Peter's a 20-year-old investigator. He's written several books, had some outstanding things to discuss with us about how to work with audio, how to work with video and so forth. I'm going to work on hopefully getting a reintroduction from some of our past guests. I'd like to have Peter Sacco on again. Peter's a wonderful gentleman, by the way. He did Niagara's Most Wanted. Again, if you have a chance to read his books, by all means do so. Rob Price and his associates this time around. Hopefully I will get both him and Jason on. They work with Spirit Realm UK. Jason Davies is a great individual. He's been doing a lot online. Haven't had a chance to talk to him personally, but I've been good friends with Rob for a number of years. And they're wonderful to speak with. And then we have some interesting personal investigators that now that I have access to a possibility of doing pre-recorded shows that we can put on from time to time. So I'd like to speak to Joe Banks. I'd like to speak to a lot of other people from overseas there. So everybody listening, by all means, keep that in mind. And just ride as we go into the truth and the reality of the paranormal. So that's a bottom line on what we're looking at. You're learning at the new idealisms. I have a call-in line, by the way, now. We will announce the call-in line. It will be on all of my advertisements. I encourage everybody at this point, by all means, call in. Let's discuss situations. Call in and ask with the guests. Call in and ask myself. About every 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to have a reintroduction. That reintroduction is going to be me talking a little bit and kind of running with things as we go to see what we're doing. Call-in numbers toll-free is 1-800-429-5471. That's USA and Canada. We also have 323-744-4841. It's 1-888. I said 800. I apologize. 1-888-429-5471. So by all means, at any point in time, call in, discuss the show. You're always welcome because it's very important that we get high interaction here. And in some of my shows, we're going to open it up for you guys to do that, by the way. I want you to tell us about your paranormal story from your standpoint. Tell me what's going on. I absolutely love that. And just so that everybody's aware, it's Paranormal Truth and Reality, paranormaltruthandreality.com. You will see a lot of books, a lot of recommendations. You'll see a lot of links. We're on BBS Radio every single Friday at 8 p.m. That's bbsradio.com. There's Station 1, Station 2. You will see me headlined there as well as my guests. Make sure that you keep an eye on that. Wonderful thanks to the BBS people because I wouldn't have been able to do this without them. They did some wonderful advertising for me. They helped reset up the introductions. Very wonderful group of people. If you're ever thinking about doing a radio show and you have any experience, come to BBS. Awesome. They do a wonderful job. They're doing great for me. Hopefully they'll give me some suggestions about the show here in a little while. You've been speaking to Christopher Houston, Paranormal Truth and Reality. We only have roughly about a minute left, so I am just going to kind of close out and say next week's show. next week's show, if everything works out right, we are going to come in with Gavin, Kelly, and Paula from Paranormal Journey, and it's Paula Purcell. Gavin, Kelly, and Paula Purcell, Paranormal Journey. Paranormal Journey, as you heard earlier, is a show that's exclusive to Amazon. It's going to have real investigations. They have some outstanding equipment that they just got sponsored. Make sure that you tune in for that. It's going to be wonderful to hear from Gavin and Paula, have them talk to us a little bit about that equipment in their show. And the week after that, we're actually going to have Keith Linder on. I mentioned him earlier. And we'll kind of run from there. So again, you've been speaking to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. I will just kind of end it right off the bat, and we will talk to you next week. And remember, as I've always said from the beginning to the end, in the end, in the paranormal, truth should always be the reality. So think about what I discussed with you today. Have a good evening.